I'd like to say hello to everybody once again and welcome you to our program for Christ. You know, our happy privilege is always to share the Word of God with you and try with our own way to help you to be stronger in Christ and try to help you to be a better Christian. You know, in the day that we're living in, people need strength and they need encouragement. They need somebody to strengthen them, and this is our mission in life, is to give our lives to humanity and devote all of our efforts to trying to do something for our fellow man, to lift them up and to encourage them and to cause them to be able to face the situations of life. I'd like to read to you today from the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse. This know, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the truth, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. You know, this again today speaks of the latter times and the things that are taking place. The last days, the Bible speaks of the last days, the latter times. In the last days, men hearts shall fail them for fear of looking after those things that is to come upon the earth. And then the Bible tells us that we ought to pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape those horrible things that's coming on the earth. You know, we shouldn't be so lighthearted. I'm afraid that the church world of today is a little bit too lighthearted, that they're not taking the things of God serious enough. I believe that we ought to be very serious concerning the things of God. You know, when we thumb back through the pages of history, we find some outstanding things. They say one of the characteristics of the man that founded our nation, George Washington, one of the great characteristics was that with all reverence and respect, he spoke of God, that at no time would he entreat any foolishness when you spoke about God. It was always a very serious sort of a thing. And I believe that we likewise ought to be very serious about God and about the things of God. And I feel that the church has become too lighthearted in the day that we're living in. And I'm afraid that the ministry also has leaned just a little bit too much on the side of mercy, trying to tell the people that God is going to show them mercy when they do the things that are contrary to God. You know, God is a merciful God. God is a loving God. There's no doubt about that. God is a very good God. But the thing is, when we willfully do wrong, friend, the Bible teaches that there is no sacrifice for willful sin. Jesus never died for willful sin. There is no sacrifice for willful wrong. When we willingly do wrong, when we know better, when we have been warned about this, then we are in for trouble. And we are in for the judgments of God. For this cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Therefore, we should be very strong in faith, very courageous in living an overcoming life. And the ministry should be very courageous in standing at the sacred desk, declaring God's unadulterated word without compromising, without alteration, and without change. We should at all times be sure of one thing, and that is that we preach the word. That we should preach the word. We should never tell the people how we feel about it, or what we think about it. You know, a lot of times our opinion perhaps is good, and what we think about it may be good, but that's not the important factor of life. The thing is what God has to say about it. I'm not supposed to tell you what I feel about it or what I think about it. I must tell you, beloved friend, what God says about it. That's the important thing. See, because what Brother Pike thinks about it, that's not what's important. I may tell you what I feel about it or how I think about it, and it may prove to be wrong in the day of judgment. But there's one thing for sure and for certain. If I tell you God's Word, it's going to be right in the day of judgment. Because in the beginning was the Word. The Word still is God. It was God in the beginning. It's still God's Word today. And it will be God's Word in that day to come. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is the same today, yesterday, and forever. If I tell you the Word of God, you can rely on the Word of God. The Bible said, "Cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh, or that goeth down to Egypt for his help." Therefore, we should not place confidence in an individual, but rather in God's Word. You know, we should have no confidence in human beings. No confidence at all. Now, I know when I say that, there's a lot of people perhaps that kind of draw upon me, but the Bible tells me to preach the Word. And the Bible tells me that we are they that have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence, not a little bit of confidence in the flesh, but the Bible said we are they that have no confidence in the flesh. You know, you shouldn't have any confidence in Brother Pine. You shouldn't have any confidence in any other minister. You shouldn't have any confidence in any other person. You should place your confidence altogether in God and in God's Word. And friend, if you do that, you'll never be betrayed through life. You'll never be disappointed in life. But just as sure as you place your confidence in a human being, you're going to be disappointed somewhere along the road of life. For all human beings at one time or another will fail. You must place your confidence in God's Word. Now then, if you see Christ in my life, Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." If you see Christ in another person's life, follow that individual as he follows Christ. Whatever the measure might be of Christ in that individual's life, then lean upon that measure of Christ. Don't go beyond that. Place confidence in that individual, not according to his human integrity, not according to his human ability. Don't know any man after the flesh and after the talents of the flesh, but rather know him after the Spirit, and know him according to the measure of God that's within him, and lean upon the measure of God within him. And beloved friend, you'll never be betrayed, and you'll always be a happy person. But I'll tell you, if you ever do lean upon the arm of flesh, you're going to be disappointed. In the last days, the Bible said that men will be heady, that they will be high-minded. You know, the educational system is great today. Ever since the tree of knowledge, ever since the fall in the garden, ever since the era of Adam from the beginning of the world, men have been heady. And the Bible tells us not to lean to our own reasoning, our own understanding, and yet we continue to become more heady. Now, I know it's good to have good understanding, and I believe we should have good understanding, but the Bible tells us that all that are born of God are of a good understanding. Therefore, we who have God's Spirit, we have a good understanding. We should not be heady. We shouldn't be so heady. You know, so quick to give our opinion, so quick to feel that we're somebody, and so quick to feel that we're special. We should esteem the other man better than ourselves. The Bible tells us to esteem others better than ourselves. It tells us that we should look on the things of others rather than on the things of ourselves. You know, it's so easy to admire self. It's so easy to judge in the favor of self. Self always judges according to its own favor. It always works things out according to its own desire, its own likings, instead of according to just judgment and according to the Word of God. But beloved friend, what we need to do is judge righteous judgment. The Bible tells us that if we do not judge righteous judgment, are we not then judges with evil thoughts? Or have we not become judges of evil thoughts? In the last days, men will be blasphemers. Men will be proud. Men will be haughty. Men will be high-minded. In the day that we're living in, people are high-minded. They're very high-minded. They want to go to the moon. They want to live high. They want to live. They want lots of money. They want to be rich, headed. They want to feel that they're supreme and superior above other people. But you know, that isn't the right way to do. What we should do is be a Christian. We should take Christ for our example. Not book learning for our example. Not college for our example. Not schooling for our example. Not some great talent for our example, or some great person, some great celebrity. That shouldn't be our example. We should take Christ for our example. All of those things have their place in life. But I want you to know that there is but one example, that's Christ Jesus. And the Bible tells us that we are to follow in His steps, for He did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Men in the last days will be heady, high-minded, lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. You know, people today had much rather go to some kind of place of entertainment than go to the house of God. They'd much rather hear some kind of fable, some kind of a movie, or some kind of a vain jangle than to hear the words of eternal life. Can you imagine an individual coming to a place to where they would be so blinded, so carried away, that they would not understand the great worth of the Word of God? Understanding God's Word. Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and my words are life." You know, there is nothing among mankind that's given that are words of spirit and words of life except this that Jesus spoke. And to think that man is going to die. He knows that he's going to die. He knows that he is going to die. But in spite of the fact that he knows that he's going to die, yet in spite of all of this, he continues to be careless. He continues to place no value, or hardly any value, on the words of life. But oh, beloved friend, let me tell you, this is the words of life. We're not just a preacher. We're not just going about telling people things. We haven't just chose some kind of a profession, something to do in life as a doctor would. We are not somebody that's sent into the world just to be part of the professional field. We are ministers of the words of life. We are sent to tell you that you're going to die, and that when you die, God is going to reject you unless you are born again of His Spirit, and unless you believe in God's Word. Unless you take God's Word and correct the error of your life, and unless you follow God's way of life, beloved friend, you are going to perish. So then we offer to you today the wonderful words of life. We hear that song, "Sing them over again to me." Wonderful words, beautiful words, those wonderful words of life. Oh, let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words, beautiful words, those wonderful words of life. You know, Jesus, never a man spake like that man, for his words were with power. His words were living words. Oh, how it thrills my heart when I think about the words of God and the words of life, and to think that I can express the same wonderful words of life. Well, I'm sure you understand that we're living in the last days. Coming to the end of our program, I'd like to again take time to pray for you. I know that many of you are sick in body. We get letters that tell us that. And we get so many letters asking for prayer. Oh, we get so many letters that ask for prayer. And you know, we pray. We're not playing a game. We pray. Beloved friend, when you write us a letter and you ask us to pray, we pray. We pray. We go to God. We don't just go to God and say yay and amen. We go to God and we pray and we ask God to heal you. And we ask God to help you with your problem. And we ask God to forgive your sins. And we ask God to meet your need. So then, you write us a letter. so that we could help you. But right now, let's pray together. I want you to pray with me. When you pray, Jesus said, believe. So then we're going to pray together. And whatever your need is, whether you're in the hospital looking on, whether you are a shut-in, whatever the problem may be, friend, if you're looking in this direction today, I want you to pray with me. Father of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to move by your Spirit right now. Oh God, I'm asking you to heal. Father, wherever that person is today, I want you to heal. Lord, as they offer faith, oh, I feel your magnificent presence. I feel your wonderful Spirit, Jesus. I want you to heal in the name of Jesus. May thy Spirit, Holy Father, fill the hospital room. Oh, Holy Fathers, I feel your presence. May thy Spirit, may thy presence, may the glory of God enter into the room of the shut-in. Oh, hallelujah. Father, may the presence of God that I feel now heal and forgive. May the lost be saved. May the person that's bound with drink or habits, those that are troubled with evil spirits, Lord, may they be loosed. May the bondage be broken. May everything be taken away. I ask it in the name of Jesus for your glory. Amen. I felt the wonderful presence of God. You know, when I pray, I really feel the presence of God. And I feel God healing because I know that people believe when they look in this direction. I know they do. And I want you to write me a letter. If God does something for you, I want you to write me a letter. And if you've never written this, I want you to write me a letter. Let me know. Let me know that you're out there looking and listening. And let me know that you have a need so that I can pray for you. And so that I can help you. Because this is the way we have of contacting you. And this is the way God has of helping you and strengthening you in your daily activities for Christ. May God bless you. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you. And until we can see you in person, then I'll be expecting that letter. Bye for now.